Liverpool FC. I've got a real affinity with Liverpool. But at the weekend, the Liverpool fans booed Prince William, the national anthem. There's been a big hoo-ha and a big stink, and it plays into this whole culture war thing. What I want to do with this section is some of the outcry, like, why are they booing? What's it got to do with anything? I asked a question the other day, and I was like, well, what do you think the reasons are? So these are by no means exhaustive, but these are definitely some of them. So firstly, this is what happened.
The FA presentation party is led by the president of the Football Association, His Royal Highness the Duke of Cambridge, followed by the FA's chair, David.
And that's enough of that. We don't need more of that. Kurt! Flash cut. Kurt! Apparently, Prince William started crying.
Right. I mean, maybe he did. I don't know. But I think it was, again, I think it was the Sun newspaper who maybe claimed this. And I saw a picture which was meant to be the evidence of it. You know, he could have been wiping his nose. He could have been. It's one of those ones that you couldn't see his face. It was like taken from the back of his head. It was one of those. I would definitely take that one with a pinch of salt. But
absolute dafties. So basically, here's some more of the info. So this is how the Mail has screeched. Anger as Liverpool Cup final fans boo William. Anger by who, one asks. So on Monday, Johnson, this is Boris Johnson, via his spokesperson, had his say on the matter, declaring that it was a great shame for Liverpool supporters to boo the national anthem. Asked if the PM believed there was ever a reason to boo the national anthem, Johnson's official spokesman said, and I'd just like to point out, there's no way that he said any of this if it comes from his official spokesman. They've just done some kind of boilerplate fucking bullshit. No, obviously the events over the weekend, it was a great shame that as we're making 150 years of the FA Cup that brings people together, that a small minority choose to act in that way. It wasn't a small minority. Also, so Lindsay Hoyle, the Commons Speaker, as much use as a chocolate fire guard, but that's an aside, also voiced his criticism on the jeering and told the Mail on Sunday, "I utterly condemn any fans who booed Prince William at Wembley. The FA Cup final should be an occasion when we come together as a country. It should not be ruined by a minority of fans' totally shameful behaviour. And this year of all year, the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. This is dreadful. Fuck off." Anyway, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you know, whether you agree with what they did or not, and personally you know, on this particular issue, I am big up Liverpool, like yourself, always had a bit of an affinity for the Scousers. It was the city where my granddad first arrived in when he came from Somalia. Never met a Scouser I didn't like, but then I've never met Nadine Dorries either.
She's not a real one.
No, she isn't. I think she was just born there. She definitely doesn't sound like one. But whether you can have an opinion as to whether you think that they, you know, they were right to boo or not. You can't, if you're one of these people who has been banging on the past few weeks about, oh, free speech and all the rest of it, you can't really say anything about it. is my opinion on it. I'd more ask yourself questions as to why this was happening. And I think that's what people are not doing enough of. What about yourself?
Well, in terms of this, I mean, as you know, I've lived in Liverpool. I used to go past the Hillsborough Memorial. We'll do a bit more on Hillsborough later when we come to the reasons which fueled this reaction. And I used to walk past Crosby Library every morning to get the train to work. And there's a Hillsborough Memorial there for the people of Sefton who sadly lost their lives in. I'm not calling it the Hillsborough disaster, and you'll see why later on. Everybody, because it wasn't. But I'll save it for then. So my initial take on this is big up all Scousers everywhere at all times. Anyway, moving on. Just some of the, here's some of the reasons, right? This is like something called managed decline. Now, for years, this was denied by the Tories. And what it is, I'll just pull it up, actually. I tried to make this as big as it could possibly go. So I've pulled it up on a slide as well, because lessons learned from the past of not being able to actually read things. So anyway, here it is. Right. Well, what's on the screen now is a letter from the Treasury. And this was in the 1980s. And this, do you remember Jeffrey Howe?
Yes, I do.
Like Thatcher's cabinet, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So what it says is, Prime Minister, and this is to Thatcher, obviously, Liverpool in block capitals. Like you, I had the chance before going off on holiday of a short talk with Michael Heseltine about the forthcoming Merseyside report. This is obviously not the time for a reaction to the detail of what he will have to suggest, but there is one short point worth making now. As you know, I have for some years had some sympathy with his idea of giving several ministers the responsibility for individual regions. In the present context, it may serve too as a useful reminder of the need to be careful not to overcommit scarce resources to Liverpool. For reasons which we all understand, I fear that Merseyside is going to be much the hardest nut to crack. It will be hard to persuade prospective private sector investors to take the opposite view. Even as we do not want to find ourselves concentrating all the limited cash that may have to be made available into Liverpool and having nothing left for possibly more promising areas such as the West Midlands or even the North East, it would be even more regrettable if some of the brighter ideas for renewing economic activity were to be sown only on relatively stony ground on the banks of the Mersey. I cannot help feeling that the option of a managed decline, which the CPRS rejected in its study of Merseyside, is one which we should not forget altogether. We must not expend all our resources in trying to make water flow uphill. Jeffrey Howe, August 1981. I'll just put another bit in. So this is from a book about militancy in Liverpool. But the quote is, "There'll be rats eating babies on the streets before we do anything to help Liverpool." And that's Eric Sorensen, the senior civil servant in Thatcher's government. And also just an aside, Robbie Fowler, who's like a Liverpool forward line legend, has shocked face emoji.
I think that's a shocked face emoji. It's a bit of an understatement, Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
So is managed decline exactly what it sounds like on there? Because I read that phrase and was like, bloody hell, that can't be what it sounds like.
Yes, in answer to your question, that's exactly what they did and continue to do to this day. I mean, recently, I think there was something like 8 Labour councillors just resigned mm-hmm. in Liverpool and have got like a different group within the council now because they refused to submit a budget that they felt didn't meet the needs of the people of Liverpool. So they've had to resign, obviously, the Labour Party do, because Labour again are about as much use as a chocolate fire guard. And it goes on and it continues. And I mean, look, we can look at like the North as a whole, and we talked about this last week about how there's been like minus 3.6 billion in funding, because the way funding works, it comes from a block grant from central government. They use some formula and then it's spread into the regions. Somehow their formula has come up with that the North needs 3.6 billion less, but the Southeast needs 3.4 billion more. Managed decline has been on geographical lines decades. You've seen the proof. Mm-hmm. And Liverpool and Merseyside in general hit harder than anybody. So the reason I'm bringing this kind of stuff up, people are legitimately twisting and whinging about Liverpool fans booing the anthem and booing William. And it's like, well, the Queen's got nothing to do with it and all that. It's about the fucking establishment. Mm-hmm. They represent that. Tories, like, the Queen's basically the head friggin' Tory. Don't get it twisted. Like, all of this, like even fucking some liberals are all like, oh, well, leave the Queen alone. She's wonderful. Was she wonderful when they were paying out, what was it, 12 million to somebody who her son didn't nonce, allegedly, mm-hmm. quite recently?
Yeah, and exactly.
And then at the memorial for Prince Philip, she chose him out of all her kids to walk her up the aisle. So just fuck off with this nonsense, man. Nonsense. Anyway, what are your thoughts on this absolute travesty?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at things like that, you know, the better question to ask is why would you cheer? Why would you, if we look at kind of what national anthems are, you know, it's not even just about the Queen, really, is it? It's about that, it's about patriotism and nationalism. And why would you cheer on, a song representing the state when that is what they have been doing to you for decades, if not centuries? That doesn't make sense. Why on earth would you cheer? Just because, as you say, because of the Queen or whatever it is. It's
because we've all got to love the Queen, haven't we? Oh, fucking shut up. Like, I mean, I spoke to my parents the other day and I video called them and I was like, what do you think of this? I didn't ring them for that. I just come up in conversation. Mm-hmm. And like people give the older generation this kind of like blanket brush of they're all like royalists and this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
Like, the call consisted of me and my dad going up there, Scousers, come on, and just like being properly passionate about what they've done. Why? Because, I'm from the northeast of England. I lived through the 80s, had a similar run to it as Merseyside or Glasgow. Or other working class areas. Now, what people are thinking is as if this somehow is in a vacuum or something. This is all wrapped up in the 80s law and LORE, not LAW, and like what went on with Thatcher and whatnot. Now, the 1987 Cup final in Scotland, I think, Thatcher was there. And this is what happened.
Assured, and there is the Prime Minister, Mrs. Thatcher, making her first public appearance. She's been at Hampden since about 12:45, and that is the first view we've had of her since she arrived. She's had lunch, and I think she's eagerly anticipating seeing a stunning and exciting game, and I hope she thoroughly enjoys herself.
Note, edit that clip to the Ireland flags on the end for no reason whatsoever. That was Celtic versus Motherwell. And obviously, as you can see, lots of Ireland flags, right?
Yeah.
Glasgow, large Irish Catholic immigrant population. Mm-hmm. Liverpool, large Irish Catholic immigrant population. That is wrapped up in this too. There's a lot of people in Liverpool, and I know this through personal experience from living there, where you'll be having a drink at somebody's house after being in the pub and somebody will stick the Rebel songs on and nothing's the matter. You could do that in other places, even Newcastle, they would agree and there'd be a fight, but like it's very, a very rebellious place. People seem to be quite savvy about like the situation in Ireland historically and how that feeds into things. Now, do not for one minute think that that doesn't have an impact on what you've just seen. Obviously, with Celtic, it was always going to happen. But the Motherwell fans, after this clip, were all singing with the Celtic fans, Maggie, get the fuck, Maggie, Maggie, get the fuck. So, another one of the factors that we've got at play here is obviously Hillsborough. And I refuse to call it the Hillsborough disaster because that has certain connotations, which, as you will see, what I want to make really, really, really clear first and get this factually correct. So on the 12th of September 2012, the Hillsborough Independent Panel concluded that no Liverpool fans were responsible for the disaster. Say that again. No Liverpool fans were responsible in any way for the disaster, and that its main cause was lack of police control. That lack of police control, say it again three times, lack of police control. crowd safety was compromised at every level and overcrowding issues had been recorded 2 years earlier and obviously nothing done about it. So the panel found no evidence that alcohol or unruly behavior had played a role in the disaster. I'm not using that word. And it believed that as many as 41 deaths could have been averted by better rescue efforts. In December 2012, the coroner's finding that the deaths were accidental was overturned. So on the left is the Sun so-called newspaper's front page. Headline is The Truth. Subheading, some fans picked pockets of victims. Some fans urinated on the brave cops. Some fans beat up PC given kiss of life. Bullshit. So after that, on the right, you'll see another copy of the Sun newspaper, which they've put the real truth. Cops smeared Liverpool fans to deflect blame. The Sun, we are profoundly sorry for false reports. Aye, whatever. 41 lives could have been saved, says new probe. Families of 96 victims called for prosecutions. Also, David Cameron at the time apologized in Parliament to the people of Liverpool, I'd just like to point out. Just a whistle-stop tour through some of it. At the start in Sheffield, I believe, the man who heard the truth, that's Duckenfield, the copper. Police chief took cover-up decision. 164 police statements were altered. Criticism removed from 116 records. Strenuous efforts to blame the fans. From the Mirror, this is in 2021. Hillsborough police cover-up victims awarded compensation days after ex-officers cleared. One angry relative said today, you couldn't make it up, as 9 days after a judge ordered a jury to clear three men accused of changing police statements, police agree to pay damages. So in 2021, the cover-up and the chicanery and all the bollocks from the establishment was still happening. That was last year. Do not disrespect Scousers for booing the representation of the establishment that was forced on them on their special day. In the same competition, the FA Cup, that the Hillsborough cover-up and everything that went on that day occurred. So from Business Insider, today's Liverpool decision confirms what Liverpool has known for years. The 96 deaths, it's actually 97 now. There's a gentleman died recently, sadly. And if you want to look into more about that, please do. The 97 deaths were part of a police cover-up, not a disaster. Went through. So up the Scousers at all times. I want to play this section out, right? Firstly, I'm going to just take some comments and then I'll play it out with a video that I found today. And it was recorded on the day, but I'll tell you about it in a minute. How ye? Chocky Allah. Now, people who don't know what that is, it means our day will come. And you should look into that. That's 2 seconds. For some reason, my computer is not getting rid of these things or putting them on the screen. StreamYard's having a mare again. Here we go. Jez Hunt, just popping in to say hello and boo the royals in the establishment. Thanks for dropping in, sir.
Lovely.
Steve Jackson, South Yorkshire Police, the same lot responsible for the Battle of Orgreave. Exactly. Yeah, corrupt as hell. Mm-hmm. And one thing I'd like to just mention as well, Spy Cops inquiry is starting again, and the lies and bullshit that's coming out is ridiculous. Go to spycops.info. Tom Fowler, you were one of the funniest blokes that we've had on. Lovely man. He's currently live tweeting it. And also, he's I'll put all the links in the description of this and when you come back to it. So anyway, back to this. There's something I wanted to play out with, and it was the commentator on the day of the Hillsborough. What are we going to call it now? Because I'm so programmed to call it disaster. Hillsborough cover-up. But that doesn't cover it either. It doesn't cover the people. Anyway, I'm thinking out loud. Yeah. I'll find something and I'll call it that. Travesty, let's call it that. So this is a clip that I took, and I actually cried when I watched it the first time. So fucking strap yourself in. This is obviously before all of the we saw the Sun newspaper from the day after. All of the smear campaign started ratcheting up. So this is what this guy was saying.
The sun is shining now, and Hillsborough's quiet. And over there to the left, the green Yorkshire hills. And who would have known that people would die here in the stadium this afternoon? I don't necessarily want to reflect on Heysel, but I was there that night broadcasting with Emlyn Hughes, and he was sitting behind me this afternoon. And after half an hour of watching stretchers going out and oxygen cylinders being brought in and ambulance sirens screaming, he touched me on the shoulder and he said, I can't take any more. And Henry Hughes left. The gymnasium here at Hillsborough is being used as a mortuary for the dead. And at this moment, stewards have got little paper bags and they're gathering up the personal belongings of the spectators and the red and white scarves of Liverpool and red and white bobble hats of Liverpool and red and white rosettes of Liverpool and nothing else. And the sun shines now.